Well, if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, that's where we were last Sunday morning. And last week we looked at chapter 1, and today we're going to be looking at chapter 2. And in Jonah chapter 2, we have Jonah's account of what happened to him while he was in the fish's belly, and the prayer he made to the Lord when he was ready to stop disobeying the Lord and he was ready to come home. And so let's pray, commit this time to the Lord, and then we'll have a look at chapter 2. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have this account. And Lord, we thank you that we can learn of you, learn of how we ought to respond when you act towards us. And Lord, we certainly do pray that your Spirit will teach us those things today. And so we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we start off in chapter 2, what I would like you to do first of all is notice how the first verse of the chapter and the last verse of the chapter is in the third person. But the verses in between are in the first person, which is a little bit strange. But let me show you. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God." So that's in the third person. And then the last verse, it says, verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah." So speaking in the third person, referring to what happened to Jonah. But the interesting thing is that in verses 2 to 9, it is in the first person. So this is Jonah's testimony. He's speaking first person about what happened to him. Let me just show you. It says there in verse 2, "And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction." First person. Verse 3, "For thou hast cast me." First person. Verse 4, "Then I said, I am cast out." First person. Verse 5, "The waters compassed me about." First person. Verse 6, "I went down." Verse 7, "When my soul..." So it's all in the first person. And so this isn't somebody else telling us what happened to Jonah and how he felt. This is Jonah himself giving us a testimony of how he felt. You know, we all like testimonies. Some are more believable than others, and some are more crazy. You think, wow, I'm so glad that didn't happen to me. Well, he is one of the only ones who is able to give a testimony like this, but this was his testimony. I do wonder how often he shared it. We know it's written here, but I wonder when he went back to Jerusalem and other places, he shared this. "Let me tell you what happened to me," and how many people listened to the testimony of Jonah. Well, here Jonah tells us personally what happened to him, how he felt, and what he did. And just to bring us up to speed, last message in chapter 1, we saw how God spoke to him specifically and told him what he wanted to do. Yet Jonah chose to disobey, and it says, "But Jonah." And we know that "but Jonah disobeyed the Lord." And because of his disobedience, then we read how God said, "But the Lord." And so the Lord intervened in the direction that Jonah was going in his disobedience, and he sent a storm to come into his life, and a literal storm, and to the point where he realized that I can't fight God any longer. And he decided the most important and the smartest thing to do was to get off that ship and to just put himself into the arms of the living God and take whatever consequences had to come. And we know that prior to being thrown off the ship, that Jonah admitted that he was running from God, that he was the cause of the storm, and he knew he needed to get off that ship. And so the sailors, reluctantly, I should add, at the command of Jonah, threw him overboard. And it says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And this is where we find Jonah. He was about to come to the very end of himself. He was at that point, or getting ready to get to that point, where he no longer wanted to disobey God, and he was willing to come back to the Lord, so to speak, and obey him. And so this is where we find Jonah today. In many ways, the story of Jonah reminds me of the story of the parable that Jesus gave of the prodigal son. They had a very similar testimony when you stop and think about it. That son left his father in disobedience. He sinned, and then he felt the sting of disobedience, and life got terrible, and he was in his own pit. He was in a pig pen. And then he decided, I think it would be best if I go home to my father. And as he drew near to his father's house, we know the story that his father saw him and ran towards him and embraced him and forgave him and took him in and restored him again. Again, a wonderful story. Yet what we know when we look through the scriptures before that parable and after that parable is that there have been many prodigal sons before that parable and after that parable, and even for centuries after, there have been lots of prodigal sons and daughters, I should add. And here in Jonah 2, we find a prayer from one of God's servants who wanted to come home. He was ready to repent. And that's the place where every disobedient child of God needs to come to if they really want to enjoy the mercy and forgiveness of God. He was ready to start obeying the Lord again. And although not every Christian goes through this, in fact, it's a wise thing if you don't go through this. Not every Christian rejects the things of God and chooses to go their own way, gets himself in a miserable storm due to the chastisement of God, comes to the very end of themselves, and then they come in repentance back to the Lord in this way. We might do it in little ways where we sin and come back. That's what forgiveness is. But not everyone goes through this life-changing circumstances coming back to the Lord. But I certainly know many that have. It happens a lot. Happens far too often. I know it's probably been around about 35 years ago now when that happened to me, but I still remember the joy and the relief when I came to the end of myself and I thought, I need to repent and get back and get right with the Lord. And I knelt and I prayed and I admitted the way that I was going, the way that I was living was wrong, and I sought forgiveness from the Lord, and I asked Him to be with me from that time on. I didn't want to stray any longer. And I still remember the joy that flooded my heart, how just that very day and the days that followed, the excitement of life all of a sudden. I didn't have to live under that weight of knowledge that I'm disobeying God and I'm living in sin and I'm fighting with God constantly. That was all gone. Now life, everything seems so much better. There is a joy that you can't understand or explain that only comes from living in obedience to God. That joy when you confess your sin and you return to the Lord and He revives you. It's a wonderful thing. And here in Jonah 2, we have Jonah telling us how he had come to the end of himself. How he had called upon the Lord in his trouble, and most importantly, the Lord heard him and received him back. You know, up until this time, Jonah may have got off the boat and he may have stopped running, but he was in the water. But true repentance goes much further than that. There's a lot of people that stop doing the bad things they're doing and they're not even Christians. They turn over a new leaf. That is not repentance unto God. There is another step where you say, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know that I need to stop. But the true repentance to God is when you go to God and you confess your sin and you seek His cleansing and restoration again. That's where true repentance is found. And without the turning to the Lord, without the confession of sin and praying to the Lord, it's not true repentance. Yet we know that once Jonah was out of the ship, in the water, and then when he was in the belly of the fish deep down and he knew he was in deep trouble in every way, that he was willing to pray to the Lord. Because it says, you know, why didn't he pray when he was on the boat? Why didn't he pray when he was in the water? But it says in verse 1, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And so when he was in the belly of the fish, that's when he prayed this prayer. He had to wait. It wasn't just enough to be thrown off the boat. It wasn't enough to be in the water. He had to be in the belly of the fish before he decided to pray. Some people just want to keep going as far away from the Lord as they possibly can. And it just gets worse and worse and worse for them. And that's what happened to Jonah. Yet while he was in the fish's belly, Jonah prayed to God. And in the next verses, we have his account. Now let's skip verse 2 for starters as a point, and we'll go to what I would call my first point this morning, and that is Jonah's despair. Verses 3 to 6. I'll read it to you, and then I want to highlight a few things. Verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Jonah's despair. You know, I do think it's important to take notice of a few things. Have a look at where he first says, for thou hast cast me into the deep. I think it's good to notice that Jonah doesn't blame the sailors for being in this predicament. So often when someone is disobeying God, they are being chastened by God. Rather than realizing what it's all about, they want to blame everybody else. It's the church's fault that I'm in this predicament. The pastor's fault I'm in this predicament. My parents' fault. My friend's fault. My spouse's fault. They want to blame anybody else but themselves. And Jonah doesn't say, it's the sailors' fault for not being good sailors that I'm stuck down here. No, he doesn't blame them. Notice he doesn't blame the storm. This storm, everything would have been all right. I would have been okay if it wasn't for this storm, as though the storm was the reason or the fault for everything going wrong. And oftentimes people want to blame the storm in their life for their reaction and how they're acting towards things. If that person or if that circumstance wasn't happening, I wouldn't react this way. No, the storms just reveal how close you really are to the Lord and how mature you are in the Lord. And let's remember that at this time when there's lots of storms going around in our country and in various ways, watch out how you respond. It is not the virus or the government's fault for how you respond. Be very careful of that. All it does is reveal how mature you are in the Lord. And he doesn't blame the storm. He doesn't think it's all coincidence. Man, I'm just having a lot of bad luck at the moment. No, he knew who was behind this storm. And he knew why the storm was there. The Lord was dealing with him because of his disobedience. This is God's dealing with me because I have sinned against him. Now notice he says in verse 3, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves pass over me. So the billows and the waves are passing over him. I would suspect he's describing before he got into the whale, all right, the fish. It says, verse 5, the waters compass me about, even to the soul. You know, these are the words of a man who was convinced that he was going to drown. When he was cast overboard, I think it's good to remember, you know, picture this and then cross it out. You know, when someone might go swimming in a little pool, backyard pool, especially guys who don't want to get too wet, like me, they'll get a little ring floaty and they'll sit on it and they'll just paddle around. You know, they don't want to get too wet and they're just enjoying just sitting in there. Well, don't picture that as Jonah. He's just floating around calmly in the sea. Nothing like that. He's being tossed everywhere. He's being dragged under the water. The water has compassed him about. He was a man that felt like he was going to drown. I know Bendigoites don't get to go to the beach too often, and even the beaches that you do go to aren't really beaches, to be honest. And St. Kilda, I don't think they're really beaches. But if you go to a real beach, and then you go to a real beach that has a big swell, like I have done in the past in Coffs Harbour, it is very foolish to go out there and try and go body surfing. But if you're younger and silly like I was back then, I tell you what, there is nothing more scary than to go out and you try to body surf and you get hammered by a wave. And it doesn't just hammer you, it takes you under and you swirl around everywhere and it just keeps you under to the point where you can't breathe anymore and you're not even sure which way's up. And you hope you're going the right direction, and then when you finally get up, you try to take a breath, and by that time, another wave has come over, and a lot of the time, you don't even get an opportunity to take a breath, and it hits you again, and the same process happens. And all in your mind is, I just need to get up and try and get some sort of breath before I drown. And for those who have gone to the beach and done that sort of thing, you will know the fear when it happens 5, 6, 7 times and you're barely getting a breath. You're convinced, hey, I'm going to drown here. And that's the sort of feeling that Jonah would have had. The only difference is when you're at the beach, you can see the shore. He was out nowhere. And it was in the dark. And it would have been very frightening. Jonah would have been terrified. But as we know, it didn't end there, because if things couldn't get worse, it did, because we know that God had prepared a great fish that came and swallowed him. I know what it's like to get tumbled about and feel like you're going to drown in the sea, but I do not know what it's like to be swallowed by a fish. Now, I don't know if you watched that 60 Minutes thing last week, but it was very disappointing, actually. He was in, if you did watch it, he was in the fish's mouth for 30 seconds. And he's making so much over 30 seconds. I thought it was 3 minutes. That sounded more significant. Jonah was there for 3 days. This man was there for 30 seconds. But one thing that did come out was he was literally terrified and he thought he was going to die in 30 seconds. And that's exactly how Jonah would have felt. Don't fall for the tricks or the... I shouldn't say it's a trick. Don't fall for the mistake that some Sunday school teachers do, like mine did, where they have a flannograph and they put a picture of the whale and then they put Jonah in the middle and they put a nice little campfire there so he's in the middle of the belly of the fish with flames and he's got light and he's warming himself for 3 days and eating the fish. I don't know if you're a Sunday school teacher and you've done that, but please apologize to your children for misleading him in that way. All right, just have black, all right, because that's what it was. Probably had some stomach acid burning his skin as well, and it would have been the most horrifying thing. I know as a child, I was looking and thinking, it doesn't seem too bad to be in a fish's belly. You get warmth and there's light. Hey, that'd be cool. It's not cool. And he says there in verse 5, The waters compass me about, even to the soul. So maybe he had water inside. He was just felt surrounded by water. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Now, I'm not sure if that was when he was in the sea or if he, that was when he was in the fish's belly. I'm thinking maybe the fish's belly. And I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He felt like he had been taken to the very bottom of the sea, where we know there are mountains as well. I'm thinking another mistake that a Sunday school teacher could do is put a little window on the side of the whale so he could look out and see the mountains at the bottom of the sea. So don't do that either if you're a Sunday school teacher. But we know that he felt like he had been taken to the very bottom of the ocean. Maybe he had, I don't know. He wouldn't really have known where he was, but he would have felt like he was in the bottom of the sea. He felt trapped. He felt like he was in hell. It was dark, stinky, and terrifying. And you know, when people are like this in any circumstance of life, regardless if it's a big fish or a big trauma in your life, a big accident, a big disease, a big breakup, or big troubles at work or in family, however it may be, whenever troubles happen, most people find themselves starting to pray, just like Jonah did. That's a common reaction. Over the years, I've worked with many people that have laughed and scoffed at me for being a Christian, said they didn't believe in God. Yet when some tragedy happens in their life, they admit to me, hey, I was praying that God would help me. It's amazing how you can turn to God and pray when troubles come into your life. Even those hardened sailors, when they thought they were going to drown on that ship, they were praying to their gods. And that's exactly what Jonah did in his time of despair. And we see this, if you're taking notes, our second point, Jonah's plea. Verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. So when all this affliction had come upon him, when he had nearly drowned in the fish's belly, when his soul had fainted, and he'd come to the end of himself, and there was literally no hope, he remembered Jehovah, and he cried out to him for help. Now, that's not a surprise. As I said, even the godless do that. Those that have wandered away from the Lord and they come to themselves, it doesn't matter how far they've gone, doesn't matter how long they've gone for, they always start praying to God when they come to the end of themselves through the chastening hand of the Lord. There is prayer of some sort. Especially when everything that they had been previously relying on is completely destroyed and they have nothing else. A person will quickly remember the Lord and pray. That's not a surprise. But it's the second part of the verse that is a surprise. In verse 2, where it says, and he heard me, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. That is something amazing. We don't get surprised with him praying. We all do that. But here we see God heard him. That word heard isn't just to hear something in the distance but not care. You know, like when you hear a car alarm in the street, you hear it, but you're not going to rush out and save the car from someone stealing it. Now, this word means to pay attention and respond. The Lord heard the prayer of his disobedient servant and responded. Now the Lord had to get Jonah to that point. He had to chasten him. The storm wasn't enough. He had to be in the water. It seems that wasn't enough. He had to be in the belly. He had to be in the middle of the belly. And then he finally remembered the Lord, it says. And when he prayed, the Lord was there to help him. You know, that's the whole purpose of that parable that Jesus gave of the prodigal son. Not so much about how God chastens, how sin leads to destruction, how selfish we can be. But the main thrust and theme of that parable is how God forgives when we repent. That he is watching and waiting for us to have a change of heart and mind. And when we do, he is there ready to forgive us. And that's the amazing thing about our God, that he is like this. You know, he was there waiting for Jonah to repent. Did Jonah deserve it? Certainly not. Did God actually need Jonah? No. He could have got somebody else to go to Nineveh, yet we see that he was willing to show mercy. Jonah enjoyed the undeserved kindness of God. You know, there's a beautiful psalm. There's a lot of beautiful psalms, I might add. But in Psalm 86, there's been one that has been special to me over the years. And it says there in verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. And so he wants to praise God and glorify him. Why? For great is thy mercy toward me. You know, when you've enjoyed that mercy, that undeserved favor and kindness from God, you want to praise him. And then it says there in verse 15, O Lord, thou art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Isn't it good to have a God like that? And Jonah enjoyed that. It's something that we can all enjoy. That doesn't come with stubbornness and rebellion. We enjoy his mercy when we repent and seek forgiveness. I think it's interesting that after Jonah describes this, he then gives a piece of advice. Isn't it how when you go through something, you want to give a piece of advice to someone else? Hey, watch out. Don't be like me. Well, have a look at the advice he gives in verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What does that mean? Jonah is giving a piece of advice here. He says that they who trust in vain things, it might be a false god, it might be yourself, whatever it is, he says, those who trust in lying vanities forsake. That is, they literally are rejecting the mercy that they can enjoy from God. And so Jonah gives this piece of advice that they, when you find yourself in that midst of trouble, don't rely on yourself, don't rely on the semen to get you out of trouble, don't rely on anything, forsake your sin and turn to the Lord. Because if you don't, you are actually rejecting the mercy of God. For he goes on to say, for salvation is of the Lord. And that's a good piece of advice to take. Because too often when troubles come, storms hit, we start blaming others, blame the storm, think it's just bad luck. Or what we do is, instead of acknowledging that God, we need God, it might be just a storm that God's allowed us to go through. It has nothing to do with sin, but it's still the same response. We turn to the Lord. But if it is due to our sin, instead of repenting and admitting our sin and going to the Lord and seeking and enjoying his mercy, we turn to other things, turn to friends, turn to all the stuff that the New Age movement has. We turn to answers in Facebook or wherever it may be. We turn to consuming ourselves with work or sport or whatever it may be. We do anything instead of repenting of our sin. Admitting God is dealing with me because I have chosen to disobey Him and this is due to me, these troubles, and I need to get right with my God. And when someone refuses to do that, but chooses to blame, chooses to rely on other vain things, they forsake their own mercy from God. And can I encourage each one who's watching today? Most of us, if not all, are going to disobey God at times. Sometimes it might be disobedience and you're wise enough to get right that day. But there are going to be times when you keep going, 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 going. And God is going to chasten you. And it's then you're going to have to work out if you're going to repent and enjoy His mercy or if you're going to forsake the mercy that God has to offer. You know, Jonah, up until this stage, acted like a very foolish man. But we see he finally came around. We notice there in verse 19, he says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." There was two things there. He said, I'm going to worship you by giving thanks to you, Lord, for what you've done. And I'm also going to worship you by keeping the promise I made to you. Now, he doesn't tell us what the promise is, but I suspect while he's in the middle of that fish's belly, that he made a promise, God, if you get me out of here, well then I will go and preach to Nineveh. And when we are making promises to God, make sure we keep them because He expects us to. And we know that Jonah did that. He did it reluctantly still. There's no doubt about that. But he kept his promise. And for all of us, when we're in Jonah's predicament, all God wants us to do is stop running and to come home to Him and enjoy His mercy. And when we do that, we can enjoy deliverance, as we see there in verse 10, Jonah's deliverance. "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." And so the detour has finished, and it's time for him to get back to doing what God wanted him to do, and with all its trials and troubles as well. And I trust that that may be you, if you have been convicted by the Lord that, hey, you're in the belly at the moment. And it's time to come home. Stop forsaking the mercy I want to show you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the day. Thank you that you are compassionate, full of mercy, long-suffering. Yet, Lord, we know that there are times when you will have to deal if you need to. I pray that we would be wise and forsake our sinful ways if they are there. And, Lord, come back to you and enjoy that mercy. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.